me it gets better. Say that it gets better. O-P-S, I'm O-P-S, I'm gay-ish.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's less John Wayne and more John Wayne Gacy.
Like, because the clowns?
And the killing of gay people.
Okay.
We kill them with laughter.
Like, your dog is dying.
He's just got a little sneezes.
Great. I'm Mike Johnson.
This has been good. I'm Kyle Guest.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
we're going
to
talk about Disney.
Gersh. Yeah, we're going to talk about Disney. We've got Doug Antkowiak, our favorite fag stag here.
Yeah, he's mentioning literally half the episodes. So.
I almost just said with us in the studio. Should we start calling this the studio?
Yes, your living room is also the studio. That's fine.
Great.
Oh, and then we have boys over. You can be like, hey, you want to fuck in the studio? And they're like, yeah. And then they're like, oh.
Put these headphones on.
Crank up the volume. It'll be great. Okay. Before we talk about Disney.
Before that.
And how gay it is, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. We, as you hopefully know, Our very next episode. Very, like, not the one after, but, like, the next one.
Is this a good cop, bad cop opportunity?
Oh, yeah. We love you all so much. We want to hear what questions you have, what we haven't answered. So send them to us, and we would love to hear them and talk about them.
Fucking send in your goddamn questions, you fucks.
We love you, you fucks. Yeah, but send in any questions you have. We're going to do a Q&A episode next, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, we want all of your cues so we can A them.
Exactly know what it means, but I'm into it, yeah, and I'm excited.
Right.
Okay, one thing I wanted to talk about that I haven't mentioned yet is for Christmas, so I know I'm like a little late on this.
Oh, okay.
Early. No, I'm not early at all. You gave me... something that we mentioned on our sex toy episode, which is Clone a Willy.
Yeah, I got Kyle a Clone a Willy for Christmas and a gallon of Nutella. So really, like, had I bought all of that at the same store, they would have been real confused.
Or just really excited and like just curious, you know?
Thank God for Amazon. You don't have to face cashiers in the face anymore.
Yeah, so I didn't even know this was an option. It's a vibrating Clone a Willy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew it was an option. I figured that's the one that you would want.
Okay. Well, so what I realized is I was like, hey, everybody, you could buy this as a last minute gift or a stocking stuffer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with this now. Like,
I told you what to do with it.
What?
You said you have friends with giant dicks. Okay. And you should copy one of them.
You just think that I'm going to have like a hookup over and be like, okay, here's the thing. Before I sit on it. There's like it's going to be like you have some trials and tribulations to go through before you can get into this goodness.
The key to my back door is inside this tube.
You must reach at least inch 9.
but like, I mean, depending on who it was, the right person would be totally into it, I think. They would find it flattering and hot.
I guess so.
Who do you know that's not only has a giant dick, but is super into it?
I mean, the other option is, like, I make a copy of my own dick, and I don't need, like, I already have that. Like, I don't need another one.
Yeah, and then you couldn't show it to me. Like, you need someone else's dick so that you can show and tell sometimes.
Okay, all right. The other thing I wanted to say is we got an email from someone, a new listener.
I know which one you're going to read, and it's fan-fucking-tastic. Go ahead.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
It's from Alan.
The Kyle is cute email?
No.
Did you see that one?
I did see someone thought I'm cute. I'm not going to pull out a Kyle is cute email and read that to you. That's so like.
I thought this was another one for your tally because we were even there in.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, like, whoever wrote that needs to write that in the reviews so I get one more.
Okay.
No, this was like I said.
I tried not to take it personally that this other person was like, oh, I'm new to Gayish and I love the podcast and you guys are amazing and Kyle is cute. I'm like, what am I? Chopped liver? Fuck.
You're right, whoever that email was. Fuck, I don't have that person's name. Anyway, but no, I'm not. Okay.
Cut all this.
It's all cut. Who I do want to mention is Alan, a recent listener, sent us an email.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say thank you to Alan and just say you're awesome.
Do you want to read his email?
No.
Oh, you just like...
Yeah, I just want to like call some people out that send us emails. We get a lot. We read them. I don't know if people know that we read them because we don't always reply. But just want to say, hey, Alan. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Alan.
What's up?
Good segment.
Good bit. That was a bit. Just say hi. Send us an email. We'll say hi.
And people may or may not have noticed during the last episode, we played a promo for another podcast.
Yeah. Affirmative Murder.
I listened to one of their episodes and I learned that snapping someone's neck is not a thing.
Oh, I heard that one too. Yeah. The idea of like in movies, you walk behind someone and turn their neck.
Yeah. Apparently that's bullshit.
Yeah. Apparently you can't do that unless you're like The Rock or The Hulk.
And like doing it to an old person who's got bad bones.
Yeah. And, like whose neck is already broken. It's just like you finish opening the peanut butter jar that's already loosened. Yeah.
But I had this idea and we didn't talk about it beforehand. So I don't like you'll have to figure out what to do with this part.
I'm worried about what you're about to say.
If people want to buy that slot, we should let them buy that slot. Like,
are you auctioning me off on the air?
Yep. Yep. Who give me $25? Give me $25.
$25 for my slot?
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody wants to send $50 and something to read that's 30 seconds or less, I'll fucking read it.
Mike's time is pretty much up for sale as well. Yes. If you're interested, let us know.
Perfect.
Gayishpodcast@gmail.com. So Disney.
We're going to talk about Disney. Are we going to get murdered? If we talk about Disney, like, isn't there some, like, pretty secret bullshit about that company? Like, you don't piss them off, or, like...
Is that why they chopped off Walt Disney's head?
You'll never have fun again.
No, they're in control of all fun for everything, yeah. So if you... I think if we just tell them we're gay, then they know they can't do it, because then that would be a hate crime.
The Disney Mafia doesn't want to fuck with the gay mafia.
Yeah, I think, like, yeah, the gay mafia... And by gay, I mean, like, the queer mafia, everyone in there. Like, it's a small but powerful group. You do not want
to
fuck...
It's a small world, after all.
A lot of those kids were actually trans.
Yeah.
Yeah. most of them are still alive. All right, so...
Just stuck in that ride.
Oh, God. Just, hating like, their crying life. And singing and crying and singing. Ah, oh, man, we're going to take all the fun out of Disney. Who better to remove all fun from Disney by making it so sad but us?
It's gayish.
That's why we need Doug here. I think he might be some uplifting air for us.
Uplifting air?
Is that a... That's, that might
I don't
be
think
a
that's
phrase.
A thing people say, but like, whatever.
It sees like the wind beneath our
butt plug.
Do you want to take a break?
Let's take a break.
Break.
Dick.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
I did not tell you guys how Brittany didn't. She didn't listen to the episodes in order, and so she thought you guys had a real fight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know that enough people know that that wasn't real.
That's true. The parts where you guys were fighting came in very, very real.
We're good actors, yeah, Mike. Maybe we'll be good at our audio dramas.
Mike especially sold it.
Yeah.
I'm cute.
So pretty. Are we back?
We're back. We're here with Doug and Koviak, our favorite fag stag.
Hi, Doug.
Hey.
Thanks Doug. For being here.
Thanks, guys.
You still a fag stag?
I'm still a fag stag.
Okay. Just got to check on that. So we are going to talk about Disney, which like everyone that knows you, like Disney is your thing.
Or shoes.
Okay. Disney first, shoes first and a half. Confirm or deny?
Yes.
Okay. Like, almost to the point where it's weird how into Disney you are.
It's, well, okay.
When did it start? When did you know?
I was into Disney because my dad used to work in Florida every now and then.
Okay.
And I got to go. And so as a child, I got to go to these theme parks. And then when I was in college, I was dating this girl and it was not going well. She was super pretty and I didn't have like enough self-confidence to just break up with somebody. And then Disney came along and said, how would you like to leave this place and go on an internship in Florida from, you know, Washington State? So I went on an internship. And I was an intern in my freshman year of college, and I spent about a year working there. And so ever since then, I've been giving my money to Mickey Mouse by going almost every year.
You apparently know a bunch about Disney.
Oh, you mentioned your dad. Did you want to talk about what your dad said when you were on the podcast before?
Oh, yeah. You were in the podcast in its early days, and then after you were on... You told me that you talked to your dad about it, and I thought that you had a really interesting exchange.
Yeah, yeah. That, I was going to kind of try to manipulate that into my gayest moment, but...
Oh, okay.
No, I mean...
Mike's pretty good about ruining things, so...
Yeah, we can talk about it right now. I remember telling my parents how I was on the podcast and how my dad had this moment of saying, like, oh, I don't know about that.
Why do you think he said that?
Because... I think he still thinks of it as I might catch gayness from proximity.
Like, so you told him the title of it, or is that, or you told him what you talked about? Like, what?
Does he know how many gay guys hit on you all the time anyway, and that, like, it would have happened by now?
It's totally true, right. And so I wonder if they wonder. Mm. And with him just giving me that kind of, like, doubt and, almost disapproval. It was like my first moment of realizing what it would feel like if I even came, like if I had to come out to my dad knowing how he treated me in that one moment. I freaked out in my own mind, and I like really started to feel this like minute sense of what you guys might have gone through in your like coming out phase.
Yeah, like it's when you're growing up, your parents don't know, like, they don't, some of them don't know you're gay, so they don't know to watch out for those moments, and those moments would have a big influence on you. Obviously, every parent, regardless of the sexuality of their, you know, the sexual orientation of their child, should send a positive message about gay people, but especially when you're growing up gay, like, yeah, you may only have one, you know, 10-second interaction with your parent that says, you know, you just said something, and they said, ugh, and that's it, but that's, like... You know, you add a few of those up and it's like, I don't want to come out to my parents.
Yeah. I mean, for me in the moment, I didn't even think about it. I was thinking that I was saying, hey, I was on this podcast. Wasn't that cool? I always listen to podcasts. This is a neat thing. And they like my, I want to say they, but my dad really hung on to the idea of like, it was a gay podcast. So yeah. that ruins it a little bit.
Yeah. We do ruin things for sure, but yeah. I think that's a different thing.
And now all of our listeners know that you were on a gay podcast. It's like tens of people.
So you're a Disney expert. You apparently know this podcast is kind of gay. So I think, sorry.
Is your throat a little cummy?
It's a good thing about having a beard is every now and then, you know, just like you'd be like, oh, yeah, that facial I got. Little afternoon snack. That's what they mean by afternoon delight. Anyway. So, Doug, why don't you just, you know, plow right in with your first story about Disney and gay something?
All right. So. I am going to tell you the story of gay days at Disney World.
Okay.
Ooh.
Do you guys know about this at all? Is this concept?
Yes.
I know that it's a thing. So I thought it was day singular, but okay. Is it plural?
It is days? Plural now.
Okay. I've heard that same thing. I've heard about it as a thing, heard it was a day.
It's like a lot of bars in rural areas where they have like gay night on a random Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. So, okay, if we're going to go back to the early days of gay days, we have to go all the way back to 1978.
Shut your mouth.
What?
Yeah. So in Disneyland...
We hadn't even died of AIDS yet then.
I know, right? This is the pre-AIDS mid-Coke.
It's true.
So back then, the big thing that was happening was that people just wanted to go to Disneyland and enjoy themselves. But they knew, like, the gay groups at that time knew that they couldn't just come to Disney and be like, we'd like to rent part of the park out and be okay with it. So what they did is they created the Greater Los Angeles Restaurant Bar Association. And they, under that kind of name, they rented
out... Does that spell Glarba?
Yeah. The local Glarba Association.
I tried to make sure that it wasn't an acronym for something, but it didn't really pan out.
All right.
Okay, but what it was a group of gay and lesbian bars that all got together to come to Disney and rent out the park at night. Mm. And they were able to do that. And once they did it, like, Disney originally was kind of freaking out. Like, they even warned the cast members, we're sorry to put you under this kind of stress.
Quick thing, just in case, like, people aren't totally up on their Disney bullshit. Like, that's just people who work there. Like, the term cast members, that's just, like, people who fucking work there.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, right. I was a cast member, and I handed out towels at a pool.
Yeah.
You were like an extra.
You were a pool boy?
I was a pool boy. So, basically, they were able to come in and rent out the parks, and then when they tried to do the exact same thing the following year, Disney came in and said, no, you cannot come.
They're like, hey, Glarba, we know you.
Right, but...
Was Walt still running the show at that point?
Walt died in 1966.
So is Roy running the show at that point?
Roy is kind of a decision maker, but not running the show.
Okay. That's pre-Eisner, though, probably.
Yes, and that's the most important thing that you said, was that Eisner came in and changed the game.
I'm sorry, this is so much insider Disney lingo that now I'm like, why don't I know about any of... I know Walt. Okay.
It made me so happy to see Doug's face light up and him point at me like I knew a thing. It was so great. It's really validating.
We'll quickly fast forward. So basically what happened the following year was Disney said, no, we're not going to let the gays in to rent out part of the park, but... All the other competing theme parks in Southern California did. So
Knott's Berry Farm,
Magic Mountain, they all let them all come in. So after that, Disney decided that we need to treat these people like they're normal people.
That's bullshit.
First mistake.
And so they allowed the same group to come in and rent out the park at night. But then we fast forward to Michael Eisner taking the reins over. So he became the CEO of Disney in the mid-80s. So at the time, Eisner is trying to get Disney beyond the family-friendly brand name. And so they had Touchstone, and they came out with some of the first R-rated movies that were owned by Disney. So Pretty Woman is essentially Cinderella, but as an R-rated movie.
Oh.
On purpose?
Yeah.
But it's about a hooker.
It's about a hooker, but it's about a woman who was... It's a rags-to-riches story.
You're saying Cinderella's a hooker?
Cinderella's whatever... Cinderella is down on times, but she has great qualities, and she deserves to be loved.
Got a hot rack and a small foot.
Right. And her Prince Charming comes.
Spell comes.
So in the early 80s, two major things happen where gay culture is rising and security guards observe two men dancing and approach them to say, hey, this is a family-friendly theme park.
Oh, God.
Mm.
Only heterosexuals are allowed to touch each other while dancing.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Okay.
So the people were Sean Elliott and his partner, Andrew Exler, and they were escorted out of the park. And they, in turn, sued Disney, and that went into court for years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they settled out of court, and Disney was ordered to pay the attorney fees of $25,000 and eliminate the ban on same-sex dancing in the park.
Wow.
This sounds like some, like, gay Footloose shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts gay baby in a corner. Wow, that's so fucked up.
What year was that? You said what year? But
So that happened in 1980, and then
that's really early.
Yeah, and so a second lawsuit was filed in 1987 by three more men who were told that touch dancing is only for heterosexuals, and it never made it to court.
Touch dancing. Jesus, like the phrase touch dancing really says I read my Bible a
lot. Like, and, well, it's also the shit you invent when you see gay people. Like, touch dancing was never a thing for straight people, but now we need to define what kind of dancing you did so we can... fucked up. Okay.
So, fast forward to 1991. That is the first year of Gay Days, or Gay Day, in Orlando. And so Orlando's Disney World, Anaheim is Disneyland. About 3,000 people came to Disney World.
Wow.
Wait, so you said it wasn't put on by Disney, so who's putting it on at this point?
Yeah, so that is the... it's the gay and lesbian group at the time. I got to figure out what the name of it
the
is.
The Greater Orlando Restaurant and Bar Association.
Yes,
GORBA.
GORBA. Okay. What if we can't figure it out? We're going to be okay with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So some gay and some fucking queers did it. Okay, got it.
So the big deal is that these groups started coming into Disney World, and they started having gay days. And the first year, Disney didn't do anything about it. And that spurred enough of a controversy for all of the religious groups in the South to say, we need to protect our own family values or else our children will catch the gays syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening was that Disney started posting signs outside of the park for those days saying, hey,
FYI,
there's going to be a bunch of dudes holding hands today.
There might be some touch dancing.
And they even sent out flyers to people staying in the hotels at Disney.
Wow.
To let them know the park is going to be packed tomorrow. If you want to hold off, come a different day.
The park is going to be fudge packed tomorrow. If you want to hold off.
It got to the point that there was a protest going on outside of the park. There were airplanes trying to fly overhead.
What?
Well, just to remind you that Jesus exists.
In case you forgot, he still died for your sins.
All of those military airplanes held up by prayer.
And right about that time, we're talking about the 96, 97, Disney finally starts opening up to the idea that they should welcome these people in. It's even said at that time when normal guests would ask, hey, what is going on this day? They say, every day is a gay day at Disney.
Oh, I like that answer.
Yeah, and
it's a bit of a lie, but...
right? Yeah, and so most of the cast members were trained to just acknowledge that this is a normal day. We should treat everyone with respect, and everyone is welcome here. So around 96, 97, Disney allowed the first nighttime opening of Typhoon Lagoon.
Ooh.
In the first beach ball.
Yeah. Both of those sound real gay.
Yeah. And this is soups gay.
Typhoon Lagoon.
That sounds like a porn star.
I mean, it is banana hammocks all night long.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And fantastic. Right, if you Google it right now, like this is, that's the premier event for gay days, is to go to the nighttime Typhoon Lagoon event. And then so right around 1998 was the time that Disney had just announced that they were going to give same-sex benefits throughout the company. And what sucks is that Disney was one of the last movie studios to offer these kind of benefits. But Disney also owned all of these theme parks, so they were different than a movie studio. And so I think that kind of thing was at play. But in the book, The Gospel According to Disney... it's thought that almost 40% of the total amount of employees at Disney at the time may have been homosexual or had some kind of homosexual connection, and that
how would they know?
That's a great point.
That's a weird. Like, I get the, like, you know, I bet they could find out the survey, like, through a survey if you're gay, but like, how do you be like
random sampling?
Like.
I mean, you gotta, okay, so think about it at the time that,
they counted all the employees named Terry.
These are all of the, like, Hollywood executives. These are all of the actors and actresses. And Disney has been expanding into much more adult-themed media. So they're trying to get into different movie studios. They have all of, like, ABC at that time. And that was about the time that Ellen had come out of the closet on her episode. So that, though, all of that stuff was making a huge impact. And the moment that Disney announced that they were going to give same-sex benefits, the Southern Baptist Church,
of course,
boycotted Disney.
Great.
For 8 years.
What?
Yes.
Great. How many of them were going there anyway?
No, think about it this way. The boycott couldn't actually take place because so many people worked there.
Yeah.
And didn't act like, didn't quit their job.
Right. People love Jesus until it affects their paycheck.
Yeah. That's true.
So, in the end, yeah, the boycott ran from 98 to 2005. And the Southern Baptists just kind of declared victory. And it ended.
Declared victory?
Yep, they said
we showed them.
We did enough damage.
Oh man, I just love people's logic. That I guess if you believe in the Bible, you already can like make your own logic. So
it coincided with Michael Eisner leaving the company, as if that was their like, haha, we got him.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with the stock options.
Nope. Yeah. And now, some websites say that over 150,000 people join Gay Days at Disney World every year.
Hey, Southern Baptist, I think we might have won.
Maybe.
I'm just going to throw that out there as a possibility. That's awesome. Mike, what do you got?
I wanted to talk about many people have made the observation that Disney villains, particularly in the animated movies, are queer coded, and I wanted to talk about what queer coding means. So does that term mean anything to you?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
My guess would be that they're not like overtly, like they're not like, so here's the thing, Aladdin, I'm super queer, but they like have certain mannerisms that give like that gay people would get it.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it's not even that gay people would get it. It's just that you take stereotypical gay attributes,
which I'm guessing are more effeminate.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to jump in and say it might not always be gay, but it like the villains are always coded to be either large or small, but like something that coincides with being not normal.
Yeah, other. Yeah.
Other. Yeah, that's a great point. Mm. And that it's really easy for us to link that to other groups like being gay.
Yeah. And so there's this feedback loop that's been identified where on even a subconscious cultural level, we associate queer people with evil or immorality or at a very minimum otherness. So then in order to really trump up the badness of villains, they end up adopting a lot of the same stereotypical attributes of queer people, because it comes along all of those preconceived notions of being gay as outside the norm and different and weird and lamentable and maybe evil, who knows. It adds to the mystique of the villain, which actually then contributes back into the culture and says these things mean you are bad, right? Yeah. And so it just kind of feeds on itself.
It reminds me of the X-Rated Movies podcast we did where we talked about gay characters, any kind of queer character is always represented as the bad person.
Yep. And so the Hays Code, which was before we had like movie ratings, and they talk about it a lot in Celluloid Closet. Mm-hmm. The Hays Code said specifically you could not depict LGBT people in a positive light. So as a consequence of that, we had all of these quote-unquote queer people in movies, but they were always the bad guy.
Yeah.
They were effeminate, they spoke differently, they dressed differently, they were flighty, they were
Ursula.
Odd. Yeah, exactly. So it's really interesting when you start looking at all of the examples, and like, if anybody out there is thinking like, oh no, there's no way that Disney villains are being coded as gay, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the mountain of evidence. So Jafar from Aladdin. Do you remember Jafar?
Mm-hmm.
So what can you say about him?
He had that little mustache and a parrot.
Perfectly groomed, tiny little mustache with a twisted beard. And he dressed really lavishly, extravagantly, was really melodramatic and had this like sarcastic sort of queeniness to him about the way that he talked. He also was shown to be averse to physical labor. And that's a theme that comes up over and over again. Apparently, people think gay people are lazy.
True. Confirmed.
And he prefers to keep his hands clean, which fastidiousness is another queer coding that you're like to be afraid of germs or to really have to be super clean at all times.
Yeah.
And he uses magic to avoid touching things.
Huh.
Anyway, so then Ursula, you mentioned Ursula just a little bit ago from The Little Mermaid.
Soups, Les.
Yeah, apparently it is not a secret that she's based off of a drag queen.
Oh.
The drag queen's name was Divine, who is a real person. So Ursula is a big, fat woman that does not give a shit, right? And she's really brazen, a loud mouth, and she's got really eccentric, accentuated makeup like a drag queen. And she's shown to not be interested in dudes.
Huh.
All,
I would have not.
Right? And she kind of has a thing for Ariel.
Oh. Okay, now that you say, I thought of her as like, you know, butch lesbian stereotype, but huh. Also,
and a husky voice.
Oh yeah.
And then Ka from the Jungle Book, the snake, really super exaggerated lisp, but
he's a snake.
Yeah, but he's has this like slimy obsequiousness to him, and he sounds like Peter Lorre in that movie, Maltese Falcon.
By the way, slimy obsequiousness is how everyone describes my penis.
Do shut. Lots of people out there would say that Disney has done the queer community inadvertently a disservice by reinforcing all of these stereotypes about queer traits being bad.
What about, there was a recent one in Beauty and the Beast, right?
The live action movie?
Yeah.
What's his name was going to be?
LeFou. Or I don't know how you say that.
What?
So he was one of the first outed gay characters in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
LeFou.
Yeah, he was he was in the movie with...
Oh, Gaston's paramour.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I thought you were going to talk about.
No, No. But also, right, like... So there's this really great... I'll post it to the website. There's this really great Twitter account that posts pictures of Disney, not necessarily villains. It can be all different kinds of people, but primarily villains, and like which gay stereotype they are. So it's like Ursula, drag queen, Gaston, muscle bear, gym bunny, right?
Mm.
And this the French word that guy's name is that you just said a little bit ago,
Yeah, everyone was like upset when that was,
gays in Disney movies?
Well, gays in Disney movies, and the gay people were upset that it was the evil one.
Yep.
So you can't win.
Can't win for laughing. Can't die for crying.
We're going to invent so many idioms today.
Great.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about is also gay Disney characters, but I'm going to take the positive spin.
Yay!
Who knew?
HIV positive?
No. No. But I'm bringing my cynicalness to it, so it's not going to be that positive.
Okay. Yay.
So I was reading actually about the first gay storyline in the Disney Channel.
Oh, is this like a boy on a show about science or something?
Are we going to do that thing where you guess the story again?
Yep. Oh, shut up.
So
go ahead.
Fun.
Say it.
I actually don't know what the show is about. So the show is called Andy Mack. It is on the Disney Channel, and the average age of the viewer is 10 years old. So this is a kid's show.
Huh.
And in October 2017, that show had the first storyline with a gay character. Which, like, to me, it's like the fact that we're still counting in firsts for some of these things is like, you'd think by now they, like, I don't know. So the storyline they had is two best friends, Andy, the titular character, and Cyrus. Andy's a female, by the way. And Cyrus, who's a male, both have a crush on the same boy.
Aww.
That's relatable, right?
Yeah, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how old the characters are?
I do. Well, so Joshua Rush, who plays Cyrus, his actual age is 16. So I don't know. He's probably playing a 12, 13. I don't know. I'm not like somewhere around that age. And Joshua Rush is from Houston. So Houston, it sucks. Get out of there, Joshua. Oh, you did. Okay. Good job. So that all sounds really great. And of course, here's where like cynical me is going to like spread his wings and in general, very positive. There are just some things about the story that I read that I was like, yeah. So they consulted, the Disney folks consulted with PFLAG on the storyline to make sure it was fair and all that stuff. And I was like, great. And then I realized, I was like, oh, wait, why wouldn't they consult with
gay people?
GLAAD or like PFLAG, parents and friends? And then I realized, oh, it's because they need the parents to be on board with seeing,
yep,
not because they actually...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all this like great that they consulted with a queer organization.
Oh, I feel like I haven't been indignant for a while, but here it comes.
Yeah.
Why? What is up with this fucking what am I going to tell my kids bullshit that parents think they can pull about gay stuff? Like, we're supposed to totally fucking change our whole lives so you don't have to talk to your shitty kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell like fucker Frankie. to shut the fuck up and deal with it. Okay, so actually, speaking...
Which the kid is going to be fine with it. Kids are great.
Kids don't give a fuck. You're the shitty one, parent. Okay, so actually, this leads into something related to that. So the show's creator, Andy Mack's creator... By the way,
yeah,
I think just Disney TV shows for kids, now they just call it the name of... Like, she also created Lizzie McGuire. They're just too bored to think up like actual names for TV shows, so they just call it the, like... Anyway,
did they run out of names? Maybe. Like...
So the show's creator Terry Minsky said that her team took great care ensuring that it's appropriate for all audiences. And so at first that sounds great. Oh, you took time to make sure, but no, fuck you. You didn't have to think about that when your straight characters. Like the kids had a relationship, right. You just assume because they're gay, then all of a sudden, same thing. Like, how am I going to talk to my kids? Kids don't fucking care. They're not thinking butt sex. They're just thinking like, oh, you like a girl or you like a boy. Like, yep. Why do you have to worry that it's appropriate? You like, have you ever thought about a straight storyline or a crush or whatever in a kid's show that was appropriate? No, they're just fucking kids being kids. So like, oh, I stole your indignancy.
So actual characters whose stated sexual orientation is gay. Doug, when you're watching shows, do you notice gay characters? Like, is that noteworthy to you as a viewer?
I think only the ones that really pop as stereotypical.
Uh-huh.
So if they're gay and like...
I think chill. when a character is gay, they really hit you over the head with it.
Mm. They don't have any just like non-stereotypical like... Just they happen to be gay and like then they just keep walking along.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of the ones that I can think of.
And that's like the same thing that like gonna get a little douchey. Like part of what I write about is like gay characters that like just happen to be gay and then they do other things, because I think that's like where we need to evolve to, is not like we're gonna have a gay storyline and they're like he's gonna have a crush and do a thing that's gay. Like what if they just happen to be gay and do other things like fail a math quiz or like, you know, try out for the soccer team and they just also happen to be gay, you know? Yeah. Hey, Terry Minsky, who created Lizzie McGuire and Andy Mack and apparently can't think of good show titles. Yeah. Have you thought about just having a like chill gay person that just does normal things?
Well, and so it's interesting. One of the big complaints about the HBO show Looking was that they were too boring. Right, like all of these characters that are gay that had all of these other facets about themselves and their struggles and their lives and their careers and their stuff, like you can't win, I guess.
Were you saying
that they're not gay enough?
No, it's not that they're not gay enough. It's that they were boring.
Okay,
like it's that they weren't Will and Jack from Will and Grace.
Sure.
Like they weren't stereotypes of gay people. They were complex characters, and that made them fall flat in a weird way.
But I think that's in the same way that girls felt boring to some people because it was about the real life. So I think it's not entirely about the like gay part. I think it's about like the writing and the fact that it's a drama, and you know, I think there are other things that also contribute to that.
I mean, when I think of the show that you just talked about, like, I have a hard time thinking that they could really sell a titular character as gay, well-rounded. Like, can they really say, hey, Jimmy's the star quarterback, but he also wants to suck dick?
Maybe not to 10-year-olds, but I get your point. Yeah, like, I mean, that's the, I think the same reason, like, you know, you have a main character who's white and attractive and cisgender, and then they have a black friend, and then they have a, you know, a someone else has a gay storyline. And, you know, I think they throw in
diversity bingo.
Diversity bingo as the supporting characters to, like, even in this, I just saw a picture of the cast, and I saw, you know, there's like five of them, and one is, you know, the black girl, like, which, yeah, I think it, you know, we, again, like, I know, like, being cynical, great to have a storyline around a gay character, especially for kids. That's really important. So I'm glad they're seeing it at the end of the day. And we need to keep getting better, and including things like, let's make a TV show, exactly what you're saying, about a gay character that's the main character. And maybe sometimes shit happens that's about them being gay. And sometimes shit just happens because that's what gay life is like. I'm going to call it Kyle Getz. That's my show name. I'm as creative as you, Terry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but it would be easy to be like, Kyle gets what he wants.
I know. But then everyone's going to turn that sexual, so it has to be called something else. Kyle Williamson. Okay, Doug, what else you got?
One of the things I did want to talk about was how when I was an intern, 2004, I was turning 19, and it was the first time.
Just a baby.
Little baby.
It was the first time that I had gay friends.
Oh.
What was it like?
Is that when you knew you were a fagstag? Yeah. Like, that's when it hit you.
Oh. You had this, like, realization about who you really were. What was the first time you met a gay person? Like, what was that experience?
Let's start with, did you know any gay people before you went?
Yes.
So you made your first gay friends.
Right. My sister, who was 10 years older than me, had a gay friend who, interestingly, had a partner who worked on the Star Wars movies when, like, Episode 1 was coming out. And I remember him telling me, yeah, there's going to be this great new character who's all CGI. It's going to be awesome. Everyone's going to love it.
Fucking Jar Jar. Fuck that guy.
Right. Oh, is it bad that I was like, Yoda?
Okay. Yes, it's bad.
But when I went on my internship, it was the first time that I really got to work around people and interact with people that were gay and be totally comfortable with it. I remember I even had like funky moments that happened where I didn't know how to say someone was coupled with another gay guy because I thought those terms were only heteronormative. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I'd be like, he's hanging out with that guy, you know, instead of like they're dating and they're fine and happy. And yeah, sex is fun.
Yeah. Sex is fun, even in the ass.
Gayish.
Tagline. How did you like, what was the first moment that you figured out one of those people, like, you know, did someone like come out to you very directly, or how did it first happen with one of those coworkers or friends?
I remember I was in, oh boy, I was in the pool at the...
Of course.
Yeah, I was in the pool of the Disney apartment complex. And one of the guys was in there that I worked with, and I found out that he was dating a guy that was working with the girl I was pursuing at the time. And she had let me know that they were hooking up, and I started talking to him. And yeah, that's about the time where I was like, ah, you're hanging out with that dude now, which felt really awkward. But what was really interesting about working at Disney, especially at that time of my life, was that there were so many kids that would come down and they would discover themselves. They got to figure out their sexual orientation because we were all living in Disney-owned apartments. So imagine there was like 5,000 kids, all about 19 to 20. We all made about $6 an hour. So there was like, we were all poor as shit.
Yeah.
But you got free admission to the parks. So if you wanted to go out on a date, you could. And you could go see this $30,000 fireworks show any night you wanted to.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is like hold hands and go. Mm-hmm. And it made it very simple and easy and open because all of these people were brought to this theme park because of these weird Disney values. No, they're not weird, but like the overarching values of everyone is special. They're like, you have a reason to be loved. You can be accepted here. Even the oddballs are welcomed and accepted and celebrated. And I think that is a major magnet for people to go to the Disney parks. Also, Disney borrows a lot of the religious ideals that make it a magnet for society, but they don't involve God. Instead of God, we wish upon a star.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and yeah. And so it replaces a lot of those values and it makes it an area where I am accepted and I can use many of the beliefs that are shared among a bunch of religions and feel like I'm welcome and cherished. And so all of these people come in and they gather in these places. And when you're 19, you're discovering yourself and you're trying to figure out something new. So I definitely saw people that came there as straight and left as gay and were definitely like, I'm making out with a girl tonight and I'm making out with a dude tomorrow and yep. Everything is good and I'm feeling it.
It sounds like Disney might be like, if religion didn't have a spiteful God, like what it might look like.
That's a really good point.
Instead of slaughtering a lot of people, what if we just were happy together?
So I'm just cynical enough that when you were talking about all of the Disney ideals, I wondered if they created millennials. Everyone is special. And
wait,
everyone.
What are you, Mike? What generation?
It depends on who you ask. I'm either the tail end of Gen X or the top of Gen Y.
Okay. I'm a millennial. For sure. And I fucking hate that everyone thinks that millennials are the problem. Like,
by the way, we were raised
by a group of people. If you think we think that we're special, like, don't blame us. Blame the people that fucking raised. We didn't give ourselves participation trophies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I also don't think it's true. I volunteered for my fraternity, and I think that your generation and the generation after, I think, is probably college freshmen and sophomores right now. Are amazing people. They care about the world and they care about values and they see the best in other people. And it gives me hope for the future. Yeah. So the really people who shit on millennials are just assholes.
They're just like something different. What?
Well, okay. So I have a very serious question. In all of your time at Disney, did you ever fuck in the park?
Wow. I never I never got to fuck in the park.
Did people fuck in the park?
Wait. Before you answer that, you answered that question very carefully.
Yes, I did.
BJ, HJ.
OJ. Orange juice. I don't know. Did you drink orange juice in the park?
I mean, I dated a girl.
Are you afraid of the Disney Mafia catching up with
you? No.
You're not gay. There's no hate crime.
Okay,
have you considered becoming Jewish?
No, he's not gay.
Just in case.
The gay mafia is not going to protect him.
I know, like, that's what I mean. What he's worried about. Just be Jewish, and then you'll have like a status to like hold, like just be like, you can't kill me. Okay, so who did you OJ?
Who did I OJ?
Oh, that means killed. Oh, fuck. Sorry. Okay, wait.
I dated a girl the entire time I was an intern there, which was a terrible idea. I originally came, the same girl? Yeah.
When did you meet her? Like the first day?
I know, right?
You have a problem.
I had the original. Well, all right. So it wasn't super early on, but like I had the intent of trying to make out with a girl from every state. When I went on that internship, and I made it through 3 states, and then I was like, okay, this one's good. Girl. Yeah.
I want to visit all 50 state capitals. Right. If you want to get that check box off, I've got quite a few left to go.
Great.
So.
You didn't explain what you did in the park that you're trying to avoid.
Deflection. Good job.
I fooled around on the monorail once.
Did you touch it? Top or bottom?
Tatas?
How far in?
There was an unfinished HJ on the monorail.
Like half an HJ?
Yeah, like
an NJ?
Like it was...
not even one of the good rides.
HJ? Like,
but,
I know.
For transportation.
But the monorail from Magic Kingdom, from the transportation and ticket center to Epcot is 8 minutes long. And so if you can get a car with no one in it... And so think about it. This is post 9/11. There aren't... that many people going to Disney World at the time, you could get an open car to go from one place to another. Someone could rub one out on you. And like you thought that there was cameras everywhere until you realized it's not as sophisticated as you really think.
Like an 8 minute hand job is like, okay, get yourself hard before we get on. What do you get on? We're going to like, that's a very like, intentional hand job.
Oh, I was thinking that's like a long time. What? After like minute 4, I'm like, or put some lotion
But the problem is we got there and then we were like, okay, well, good. Now I have a boner. Cool.
Hey, Brittany, you're the best. Okay. So I want to tell you.
Too bad.
About nothing, apparently. I want to tell you about Disney princesses.
What about them? All lesbians.
Oh.
That's not in your paper?
I don't think so. No, but the next Disney princess could be lesbian. Oh. That's a strong possibility. I read an article that said the people that made Moana would be very open to making a lesbian princess.
I didn't realize that Moana was so badass. Like, the gays love her. I didn't see the movie. It just wasn't my zone.
Yeah.
But, like... she's badass.
Yeah. Okay, so backing up, though, I wrote down some of the, like, progression of how they started introducing more complex and, you know, like, more variety in their Disney princesses. So it started with, I was so sad. This is from moviepilot.com, an article on that. It started with Belle, who was a character that was independent and free-spirited.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, oh, you're just like, yeah, and like...
Well, okay, hold on. Was Little Mermaid before or after Beauty and the Beast?
It was before.
Little Mermaid was before? Mm-hmm. Because I think in that, like, fucked up prism of the way life was back then, for Ariel to be interested in leaving home and going up and growing legs and all of that, like... That's very against the messages that we were giving girls,
independence, some form of independence. Yeah. Which wasn't
in this book that I brought, The Gospel According to Disney.
You do have a book sitting.
I know.
Right here.
So it's one of my favorite books because it analyzes all the Disney movies against or two religious ideals. And for some reason, I read it when I was in college when I was trying to figure out if I was into Jesus or
between hand jobs,
right. And one of the things that this book points out, and I agree with, is that The Little Mermaid is about how in the Jewish religion, you kind of tend to learn to convert for your spouse. So either you convert away or for your spouse and join their group. So Ariel loses her fin to become a human to join the group.
Huh.
I thought you were going to say it's that drag queens want to steal women's voices so that they sound more girly. Mm-hmm.
Two parts that relate to Judaism. no, but okay. The thing about Belle is, though, is she is intelligent. Ariel doesn't know the word for feet. dumbass. So
look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Like, yeah, stuff and neat. She's never seen a thesaurus. The pages just float away in underwater. Okay.
And then she signs a contract without reading it. That's like,
are
we at the used car dealership? Come on.
Yeah, come on. No, but I just made me so sad that at some point in time, making an intelligent female character was like unique and progressive. I just got so sad.
And like in the first big opening song, right? All of the townspeople are talking about how peculiar she is, right? Like, she's other in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I don't know if that's really reinforcing the idea of her independence or not. Like, she is who she is. She's smart and bookish and has this independent streak. But like, there are lots of messages in that first opening sequence of like, and she's bad and she's crazy and she's a weirdo.
Intelligent woman that has her own interests?
Fucking crazy. What? Shut that shit down.
Belle, more like go to hell. Okay. Okay. Jasmine then was the next one to open the door to non-white princesses. And then in Brave, there was Merida and Frozen, Elsa. Both of those didn't have love interests as their storyline.
Frozen is an interesting example because it was rewritten halfway through the movie. Well, okay, so they were making the movie and then they had to rewrite the entire ending of the movie because Elsa was supposed to be the villain.
Huh.
And they found that everyone fucking loved that song. And then, there's no way you can have the villain sing the best song ever.
Yeah.
And so they had to rewrite the song to make, or not the song, but they had to rewrite the characters to make them find the love of a sister's love,
huh,
and bring in an alternative villain at the end. Yeah.
That's interesting because Idina Menzel, Adele Dazeem, sang Let It Go in Frozen, and she played Elphaba in Wicked, which is basically the same idea, right?
Taking a wicked person, making them the good person.
Or at the very least nuanced. Yeah.
Moana is the last one that we talked about a little bit, but the fact that she was an islander, she was Polynesian, and okay.
And amazing.
She was badass. The article I read said she had a curvier body type, which, fuck that to hell. I looked up pictures. Like, I was like, that seems... I looked up pictures. No, she does not have... Like, she...
For Disney. She's a plus-size Disney.
Which is fucked up in its own way.
This is a major reason. It's because Lilo and Stitch was their first crack at what Islander people look like.
Mm-hmm.
And Lilo was so way off. This is a big deal, is that when Disney opened up a resort on Aulani... well, it's called Aulani, but it's on Oahu, that there's no mentions of Lilo anywhere on the resort.
Oh, really?
It's only Stitch, because people were so offended by it.
Oh, wow. Anyway, so there's a, you know, there's been a big progression, you know, going from just like, let's make an intelligent female character to let's make someone who's like Moana, who's a badass. Lesbian seems like the next logical step, or even bi. Like, why can't we just jump right to bi? Like, there are lots of cool options, and I really hope we see that you know, in the next year or two.
Do you honestly think that's gonna happen?
I believe the next character is going to be some kind of queer. That sounded weirdly really weird. I didn't
you own it.
No,
you
just just some kind of queer is like that. That phrase sounds queer.
Fucking queers. what do you think, Doug? What do you think the chances are of that?
What's the next Disney princess?
I don't think that the next example of gay culture will be represented in gay princesses.
In
Disney princesses.
What would the next incarnation then be?
I'm really surprised that you guys didn't mention Timon and Pumbaa.
We did back in episode 4.
With your brothers.
With my brothers. That they definitely are butt-fucking. But go ahead.
Okay. there is a live-action version of Lion King coming out. And I think that is going to be a much more clear representation of a gay relationship.
You think Timon and Pumbaa is going to be the representation of a gay relationship?
Yes.
I mean, they raised an orphan cub together. Like,
I think that there will be a much stronger movement for, let's say, lead female characters to be asexual than lesbian.
Oh, see, I think we have a
We've already seen that, though. Like, Elsa in Frozen and arguably Moana, right?
But I feel like to actually have an impact on the asexual community, they need to be more outwardly asexual, other than just they don't happen to talk about...
Like, they need to get hit on hard and say no.
I'm just thinking, like, the absence of a love interest only goes to show, like, hey, women, you can have, like, you have other interests and desires and things that you care about in life.
Yeah.
But to represent the asexual community, that's not enough. It needs to be something where it's a little bit more overt that they are asexual to have an impact, especially on children and people, to show that it's okay, is to like to a little bit more. They don't have to be like, I'm an asexual and that's a-okay, like, you know, they don't have to do that, but like at least more outwardly be an asexual and it be fine.
I have to pee so bad I didn't hear anything you just said.
Great. I love when you just support me. If you need an asexual character, BoJack Horseman, latest season, has a great storyline about Todd, the asexual character. Hey, Mike, do you want to take a break?
Let's take a break!
Let's take a break!
Da, 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 da.
Now you say, fuck you, Kyle.
Fuck you, Kyle.
That didn't sound like Mike at all.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can, yeah, that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
That's cool.
Let's make like a hooker's autopsy and close this bitch up. Let's.
Are we back?
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Sorry, Jesus. What?
Okay, we're going to do our gays and straightest.
We're going to do our gays and straightest, but first.
But first, contact us with your questions.
Send in your goddamn questions, you bitches.
Your lovely bitches. You can email your questions to gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can tweet us at gayishpodcast.
Doug, is there something they can go on like that Mark Zuckerberg would approve of?
Zuck would love you to go on facebook.com/group/gayishpodcast.
Yeah.
That's true. You can leave us a voicemail, send us a text with your questions at
5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Thanks. Remember that time that I texted someone else?
What is a fuckboy?
Yeah, I texted, what is a fuckboy? And they said, who is this?
We did not yet figure out who that is. So
great.
I so want you guys to try to get that person on an interview.
I really would like to do that too, actually, if they'd be amenable, but... Yeah.
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Wait, what's a fuckboy?
What is a fuckboy?
I looked it up, and it was not what I thought it was. And
no,
then
the Q&A is next week.
Oh. If you want to know, Doug.
I'll wait until next week.
Well, you have to send in a question, too.
That's a great point.
Okay, so I'll go first.
Do it.
All right, so the gayest thing about me this week is... Okay, I'm going to take some liberties, because I, on my way over here today... I was listening to Private Show by Britney Spears, and what I realized...
Work it.
Pull, wash me, work it. Slide down my pole, wash me, spin it, and twerk it. Okay, what I realized that I have never talked... I've talked about how me listening to Britney Spears is super gay, but what I haven't talked about is the only reason you both know and like that song is because I made you listen to it enough that you now like it, and I remember when that song came on at New Year's, and you were like... Ugh, I like this song. You were so annoyed that you like that song. So the gayest thing about me is how that I can influence other people's gay music tastes.
Yay. Fuck you, Kyle.
Yeah.
In my head.
You?
Not literally.
What? Okay. The straightest thing about me this week, mm-hmm. One of my coworkers asked me, hey, like, my beard's getting kind of long. Like, what kind of beard oils or, like, anything should I use on my beard? And I was like... I know that I'm gay, and I know you know I'm gay, but I have no I just don't know. I'm sorry. I don't use anything on it. I don't care to learn about it.
You are barking up the wrong beard.
It's just so funny when people, it has to be, he thought that because I'm gay, I would do something cool or queer with my beard. Like,
maybe because your beard is so luxurious.
It's just naturally luxurious, like my anus. I don't need bleaching. Okay, yeah, so that's the straightest thing about me.
Jesus.
Mike, what about you?
So the straightest thing about me this week, I went to the... it doesn't start out so straight. I went to Queer Bar last night to play trivia. They have trivia and pretty standard pub trivia type format. But... at the end, when they were reading the answers to the questions and we were figuring out if we were right or not, my very, very gay group, we were doing high fives. Mm. High fives left and right on the correct answers. No. And that is so straight, bro.
Straight bro. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
High five. No.
Yeah. Yeah. The gayest thing about me this week is forthcoming. Hold on.
Spell coming.
You know, forthcoming.
Are we
like you've already come three times? It's just your forthcoming. I mean, really, the gayest thing about me this week could be the high fives, because they were the gayest.
They were so bad.
Like, lots of whips and just not good form at all. I tried staring at elbows, but it didn't work.
Yeah. And you were still in a place called Queer Bar, so the straightest thing that happens in Queer Bar is still pretty gay.
True story. Doug?
My gayest moment this week was the fact that I have... All right, so my hairdresser is moving to Washington.
Stop. You can just stop.
My hairdresser is moving to Washington, D.C., at the end of the week.
Oh, are you sad about that?
I am sad. And I've been getting $60 haircuts every 3 weeks because I've been kind of wanting to like chat this person up and see this person off. And so today was their last shift with me. Mm. They're going to leave at the end of the week. And I had this like emotional relationship about it because... I feel like when I started going and seeing this person, I was making these major changes in my life, And so the way that she made me look coincided how I felt about myself. And if you look good, you feel good.
Yeah.
And you go forward with that. And so, yeah, I have been getting $60 haircuts every 3 weeks because this person was leaving. And I thought that that was a little ridiculous.
And if you need a new hairdresser in Seattle, I love your hairdresser is so important, like more important than your therapist.
I agree.
Because sure. Not only can you talk to them, like they also do a physical thing to make you look better, which my therapist never like helped dress me or did, you know. Tiffany, who works at the salon Skin, SKYN in Pioneer Square, I highly recommend her.
That sounds like it's
heaven.
It's a condom company. SKYN. It's like Skin.
It's like real Skin, except babies don't happen. What's your straightest moment?
My straightest moment this week was that I had been staying at my girlfriend's place. So I've been staying with Britt for a few extra days than I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my razor with me.
You don't have a drawer?
I have a drawer. I have like a little section of like where my moisturizer and my hair gunk is.
I'm sorry, are we still on the gayest thing about you?
But I don't have a razor. I don't have my like Mach 3 there.
Yeah.
And so my facial hair had been growing and I don't.
Is that why you almost had?
Yes, that was multiple days growth.
Ah, I was wondering at what point I would need to sit you down and be like,
stop this.
Hey, Doug, that's not it. Okay.
Okay. So what I did though, was I trimmed my like neck hair with her leg razor.
Uh huh.
And like I'm trying to get it in the shower and she's there and she's like, oh, you fucked up. And so like we're trimming it together and we're trying to get it so it looks even, but it's still shaving with a leg razor, which
naked shaving with a lady.
Yes.
Is pretty,
yeah,
straight.
Pretty straight.
Is that cool for you to talk about?
She's fine.
She right. loves us.
Right. Yeah.
Well, she does, but that doesn't mean you love tens of people knowing about your intimate details.
Hey, Doug's dad, he gets naked with his girlfriend.
Yeah, dad, when you're downloading this gay podcast, how about we talk about more things, huh? How we like surface some of the... Well, I'm really glad that you're interested in my life, finally.
Oh, you made it sad. It is gayish.
It is gayish. You do fit in on this show. Brittany,
this was awesome. Yeah, Brittany's great. Dad, I'm glad you're interested in something that wasn't sports related.
Weed. Okay. So
that's it.
That's it.
This has been gayish.
This has been gayish.
A special thank you, as always, to Charlie Finn for the use of our theme music. And a big thank you to our favorite Fagstag, Doug and Koviak. Doug, thank you so much for being here.
It's been a long time coming, spelled COMING the regular way. So thank you so much for being back on. You're our first return guest.
Hey!
This is where you say thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And you're welcome.
So that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Probably.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Get your questions in, you fuckers.
Beautiful motherfuckers.
Do you want to say
and
bye?
Hear
bye.
Me
yeah, good job.
You know exactly how he sings. We're so gay.
Hey, and by the way, do you hear what your words bring? O.P.S. I'm gay-ish.
Oh, I got that wine stain out of my sweater.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Gayest moment. Just now.
That sentence.
Okay. All right. Maybe that'll be it.
That's a good one.